First John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Read it with me, please. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, and the word Christ means anointed one and his anointing, is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him, who is begotten of him. Ooh, you know that you're begotten of him? You know, where you were birthed out of his side, weren't you? Amen. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. The word commandments here means will. Does everybody understand it? This is when it means his will. And whatever is born of God... No, wait a minute, I want to go back to verse 3 again. And I think everybody missed that. Would you read it with me? Come on, all. You ready? For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Okay, now the next one, when it says commandments, say will. And his will is not burdensome.
Oh man, I just really think I need to suffer for Jesus.
Oh, you little flesh creature. You're deceived. It says his will is not burdensome. Amen? For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Victory that overcomes the world is to know the will of God. Jesus knew the will of God. That's why I was able to overcome. Amen? Go to Matthew 7. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, you remember one of the first prayers that we used to pray was, besides the Hail Mary, which we were praying to the wrong person, and I'm sure everybody repented of that. We used to pray the Our Father's Prayer, right? And in Our Father's Prayer, it said, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Tonight's teaching is called Thy Will Be Done. Amen? Thy will be done. Matthew chapter 7. For some of us, it's that prayer that got us here. Even though that little simple prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Like we used to sing, we used to say about 20 or 30 of them, run around the church, do 25 push-ups, and we were forgiven. Hallelujah. Like we had to pay the price. There was a price to pay, but the price of sin to be washed away, no man could pay. Amen. And Matthew 7 and verse 21, would you read it with me? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Ooh. So if you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you decided to go out and serve the devil, where are you going? Hell. Hell. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but him who does my will. I would say we need to know his will then. Amen. Many will say to me in that day, but Lord, come on, man. I prophesied in your name. I cast out demons in your name. I did many wonders in your name. Miracle signs and wonders followed me. Did all kinds of stuff, man. I know I did a little fornication. I smoked dope on weekends and I did other stuff. But the gifts are without reproach. But I went to church and I repented every Monday. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Lawlessness. See, those who practice God's will, those who are walking in God's will are the ones that are going to enter. Those who are not walking in God's will not. So guess who's trying to remove you or deceive you, or distract you from doing the will of God? The enemy. Amen? I think we talked about this on Saturday morning. I think some of this started. See, because the will of God has been imparted in me and you when you are born again. God's will is already in you. Amen? So the enemy is really not against you. He's against God's will. Does everybody got it? He's trying to stop the will of God from being manifested. So obviously you carry the will of God, so he's going after your blessed assurance. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Praise you, Lord. It's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. Starting at verse 15. Praise you, Master. Hallelujah. Would you read it with me? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, you know, every time we've got a choice, don't we? In fact, the word will means choice. So you could be doing God's will in the morning, and in the afternoon you could be doing your will or the enemy's will. See, when you begin to do the enemy's will, that means you're associated with the world. Does everybody understand that? In other words, you've come from the covering of Christ to the covering of Satan. So what happens is then when he says, you know, if you love the world, then the love of the Father's not in you. Well, guess who's trying to remove or diminish the love of God in you? The enemy. One of the things he loves to do is breach three areas. The first thing he wants to breach between you and God is that God loves you unconditionally. Amen? He always wants to make you, when you make a mistake or you've done something, that God doesn't love you. He wants to breach that love. It's, what he does is he convinces you that God doesn't love you. So when you can't receive God's love, you can't love yourself nor love others. And that's nothing but a lie from the devil. So he breaches those three areas, and what he tries to do is put us under his arena, his covering, the enemy's covering. So when it says here that he who loves the world or the things in the world, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now when you begin to love the things of the world, you begin to practice the things of the world. Amen? Many times when people have backslidden, they go back into the world. What happened? That breach came from the love of the Father. But it wasn't that God didn't continue loving you. It's that the enemy convinced us and breached that love that God didn't love us. And many people commit suicide. Oh, God don't love me. Amen? Or if God really loved me, he would do this. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Let's keep going. 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So let me tell you something. If you are doing the will of God, I don't care if the building falls in, you're going to walk out. You abide forever. Remember, humans die. We don't. Because we're already dead. You can't kill something that's already dead. Amen? Humans die. We don't. They're all trying to save their life. We're trying to kill it. Amen? Humans are afraid because they don't know what's coming. But we're blessed because it's an opportunity to boogie. We're going to jam, man. We're going to party hardy. Praise God. Go scuba diving with no gear. Basketball with no ball. Hallelujah. Think it and it manifests. The Bible says that God does exceedingly abundantly far above we could think or ask. Hallelujah. You don't even have to ask. You think it. Why? You'd be doing God's will every time. We'll be all like-minded. Hallelujah. So he who does the Father's will abides in him eternally. Amen. Remember, Jesus' purpose was to come into the world to do the will of the Father. The will of the Father. In Mark 14. Praise you, Lord. Mark 14. Is everybody okay? Are you doing God's will right now? Amen. Remember, God never interrupts himself. He never interrupts himself. Oh, hallelujah. Mark 14. And verse something. Let's see here. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Let's start at 32. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter and James and John with him. And he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. Now you got to understand something. Jesus knew the will of the Father. He knew what he had to do. You know what? He had to come to a point where he knew what he had to do. Okay? Then he had to come to a point where he wanted to do what he had to do. Do you understand that? In other words, discipline causes us to do what we have to do till we come to the point where we want to do what we have to do. Amen? See, because what the enemy tries to do is get your soul. I mean, Jesus even said, my soul was bugging me. My feelings, my emotions, my mind, I'm getting attacked everywhere. Amen? What's your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. He said, my soul is exceedingly what? Sorrowful. Ooh. Even, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. I mean, he knew what he had to go through. I mean, stay here and watch. Stay here and intercede. Help. Then he said to them, and he went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it was possible, the hour might pass from him. Check that out now. Here's Jesus, the Son of God, who put on flesh, filled with the Holy Spirit, no sin. He was fighting. He was fighting to do the will of God. He was disciplined unto death, the Bible says. Obedient unto death. He was struggling in the garden. Jesus died in the garden. He didn't die on the cross. He fulfilled what he did in the garden. He said his soul was so sorrowful unto death. And he asked the Father, listen, is it possible that this might pass me by? That was that part of the humanistic in him that he carried. That's why he became the man God. He got to really feel and sense what humans go through. The Bible said that he was tempted just like everyone else, right? There's no difference. Why? That he might be the great intercessor and have mercy upon us. And have compassion upon us so that he might know what we went through because God didn't know. He had to become man to know. Hello? Isn't that something? He had to become man to know what it was like to have a sinful nature. Now he kept his sin underneath. He was perfect. Even though when he was tempted by the devil, the only way he overcame the devil is because he knew the will of God. You're only victorious because you know God's will. Amen? If you really know God's will, you're victorious. See, you won't be moved by circumstances or what you feel or what you think. If you believe that it's God's will for you to be here, you'll do whatever it takes. And you'll be victorious because you're not caught up in the circumstances. Jesus wasn't caught up in the circumstances, but he did ask if it was possible. Now, after he asked that, he began to intercede. But first he said something. He said, Abba Father. In other words, like, Daddy,
help.
I know that all things are possible for you. In other words, you could maybe kill everybody and just take me home. Let's forget this place. Blow the earth up, melt the universe, and let's start over. But he said, you know, take this cup from me. I know you can. And he said, nevertheless, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what I'm supposed to do. He said, not what I will, but what you will. Then he came and found them sleeping. And said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And afterwards, when he made the choice that he was going to do the will of his Father, he began to intercede. The first thing he had to do was to crucify his own flesh before it was crucified. That's when he began to sweat blood. See, blood already began to pour in the garden. He was already shedding his blood in the garden, knowing what he had to fulfill. I'm telling you, he died in the garden because he knew what was to come. He was full of the Spirit. He knew what was coming ahead. And he knew what the will of God was. He chose not to look to the right or to the left. He chose to go all the way to the cross because he knew that there was a purpose. He didn't do it for the reward. You understand that? He did it for love. He died for me and you because he created us in love. Oh, hallelujah. Not what I will, but what you will. If it's possible, let this pass me by. How many times have we ever said, man, there's got to be another way besides this. Come on, I want to drive through. I really got to go through this? You know? Lord, isn't there like instant drive through, you know? Instant deliverance, instant freedom, you know? Instant, you know? Isn't there something, isn't there a pill I can take that can fill me with the Holy Spirit, baptize me, and, you know, free me? Well, no, there's not. There's your answer. Nope, 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 nope. Go to Psalm 40. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 40. Praise you, Master. Glory to the Lamb. In verse 8, Psalm 40 and verse 8. Let's start at verse 6. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I came in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. And your law is within my heart. In other words, his will is already in your heart. The Bible tells us that he would put his laws in our heart and give us a new spirit. Amen. And he would give us the Holy Spirit that we could obey. So we see here that his laws are his word, his will is already in our spirit when we become born again. Amen. But there's something that you and I must do. We must make the choice, the delight to do his will. Doing his will has nothing to do with how you feel. If you're going to be led how you feel, you'll never be able to fulfill the will of God, and you'll miss the destiny, because without doing the will of God, you will not fulfill your destiny. And God has a prepared destiny for you, but it will not be fulfilled without fulfilling the will of God. Doing the will of God is what's walking and preparing you for your destiny. Delight to do his will. Make the choice to do it. That's one of the first things that we must do. Thy will be done. Every circumstance, everything that comes across your path, every trouble, every torment, every trial, every tribulation, thy will be done. Not mine. And back off. Get your little paws out of trying to fix it. Psalm 143. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Believe me, I've been saying, thy will be done. Hallelujah. Thy will be done. It's a good day to die. Lord, if it's possible, pass the cup. Empty this cup, will you? Let me drink something. Hallelujah. Psalm 143. In verse 10, would you read it with me? Now, let's start at verse 9. Some things just don't change. Read it. Come on, read it. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will. You are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. One of the things he said was, okay, now, I delight to do your will. In other words, I'm making a choice to do your will. Then he says, teach me to do your will. See, you can say all day long, Lord, I want to do your will. You can say it all day long and still go out and serve the devil. I've had people tell me, man, I've been asking God, I want to do his will. But you're to learn to do his will. Everybody got it? Look at Matthew 11. If you don't learn it, that's why God says my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. You know what the knowledge is? It's to know what his will is. Matthew chapter 11. Oh, praise you, Master. Verse 28, read it with me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all of you who are doing the will of the flesh. Take my what? Yoke upon you and what? Learn from me. Learn from me. For I am what? Gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your mind, your will, and your emotions. For my yoke is easy, my will is easy, and my burden is light. Let me tell you something. You know when you're out of God's will. When you're kicking, screaming, and trying to stay afloat from drowning. Amen. You know you're out of God's will. Oh, you know. Hallelujah. Learn my will. Come to me means to get positioned. When he says, come to me and learn from me, it means to get positioned. What are we trying to do? We must learn to think his will, talk his will, and walk his will. Amen? We must learn to what? Think his will, talk his will, and walk his will. We must deny our will. God's will, now listen to this, God's will is the strategy to overcome the enemy. Come on, now think about this. God's will is the strategy to overcome the enemy. So if you're not doing God's will, the enemy is overcoming you. Did not Jesus come to fulfill the will of God? And what did he say? I've been manifested that the works of the devil would be what? Destroyed. Why? So God's will could be manifested so the enemy would be destroyed. God's will is the strategy to overcome the enemy. If you're not doing God's will, the enemy is overcoming you. See, it prevents you from leaning on the arm of flesh and allows you to lean on the arm of Christ. John 7. Praise you, Master. Jesus. John 7. In verse 16. John 7, 16. Glory. Would you read it with me? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine. Right? My doctrine is what? Not mine, but His who sent me. If anyone wills to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak in my own authority. So what is He saying? Listen, if you want to know my will, right, you better know my word. And there are a lot of people who are not in the word, and they don't know the will. Now, you can be in the word and still not understand it, then you don't know God's will. Amen. So you must be in the word with understanding. With understanding. If anyone wills to do His will, my Father's will, he shall know concerning the doctrine. You must know the word of God. Know the doctrine of His will. Jesus knew the scriptures and He knew what to fulfill. You and I must know the scriptures and know what to fulfill. Amen. Go to Romans 12. Romans 12. Oh, hallelujah. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, glory. Well, I'll be tested on this for about a month. Romans 12. Verse 2. Verse 2. Would you read it with me? Now, wait, before we get going here. Okay, wait. Okay. Now, listen. We must, now that we know the will of God, okay, we know that we need to know the will of God, right? Now that we know the will of God, that's positioning. You got it? Hold on to it. Once we are in position to know His will, we must conform our lives to it. Hello? See, you may know His will, but now you must conform your life to it. We must conform our life to His will to do it. Amen? Read verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will. Three wills. Good, acceptable, and perfect. There's only one choice for the perfect. Only one choice is for the perfect. That's what returns a hundredfold. Now the word will means choice. Right? So when you're going to do God's will, that means you're going to walk His will, you're going to talk His will, and you're going to think His will. And you're making that choice to it. Does everybody got it? So again, once we are in position to know His will, we must conform our lives to it. James chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. James chapter 1. James 1 and 21. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? James 1, 21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word that is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and what? Continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he's religious, holy roller or whatever, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. But pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the will of the world. Amen? From the will of the world. Must hear and do. Do his will keep you unspotted from the world. Why? Because by doing God's will is the strategy to overcome your enemy. So everybody understand that it is so important. That is God's strategy for you to overcome the enemy. That's why when people reject counsel of the Lord, the counsel of the Lord is from the counsel of the Lord, not from a man. When you reject the counsel of the Lord, you've just rejected the strategy to overcome the enemy, and the enemy will take you out. Hallelujah. John 5. John chapter 5. Glory. In verse, let's see here. Hallelujah. In verse 30. Would you read it with me? Jesus said something very powerful. He said, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus said something very powerful. I hear. Remember we just said the hearing and doing. He said, I hear, then I judge. In other words, without discernment, you will not be able to discern what is the will of God. That's why you must be sober. And I mean by sober, not by the world standard. You must have clarity. You must be able to hear the voice of God and then obey it. Amen? So you know the will of God. You are in position to know the will of God. Now that you are in position to know the will of God, you are going to conform your life to the will of God. While you're conforming your life to the will of God, you're going to be able to hear the voice of God. By hearing the voice of God, you're going to be able to judge or discern. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said, I hear and I judge. Let me share something with you. I had to make a decision that went against every grain in my body. I had to make a heavy-duty decision that went against every grain in my body. But I knew it was the will of God. Didn't feel good. Didn't taste good. Didn't look good. Knew what was coming. Saw it. Wrote it. And obeyed it. Didn't feel good. I'm telling you, I had to make a decision that came against every grain, every carnal thing, my flesh. I felt like I was in the garden. Lord, if this possible, pass this cup by. Come on, Lord, can't you just change the person? It'd be real easy on me. You know, I got enough stuff to do. Guy, Are you going to do my will? Or are you going to compromise? Oh, I knew it was coming. Long days. No rest. Stepping out of a boat, walking on water. Getting to something I don't know nothing about. Death. Sweating bullets. Couldn't sweat blood. I knew it was his will. And I had to obey. Mark 8. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, how many times have we asked God, can't you just fix it? Just change it. You know? Hey, there's times when he's answered that prayer. Believe me, I had a guy that came in, he had a hernia, and it was like a fist hanging out of his somewhere. His belly down there somewhere. And I said, Lord, please, I don't have time to take this man to a doctor. Can you please just heal him? I was laying on my bed, all my arms and everything. I was like, please, I'm whipped, I'm burnt out. Do something. Help me. I don't want to look for a doctor for this person. Help me. Well, we had service that night. I prayed for him. I said, Lord, just sew it up. I walked away. The power of God hit him. The next morning, the man got up. It was gone. He moved two houses. Boy, was I thanking God. One less thing I had to do. I didn't have to fast and pray. A little begging. That worked. In Mark 8. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Verse 31. And Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. What was he telling them? The will of God. Right? He was telling them the will of God. Now, you know, let me tell you something. Most people know the will of God because it's in them already. That's how people get convicted. Because it's the will of God. So Jesus was telling his disciples about the will of God. And he spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter saying, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of things of God, but the things of men. See, Peter did not know God's will. And he began to interfere with what God was doing. Let me tell you something. If you don't know God's will, you begin to get in God's way. You know, people, I get calls all the time. Well, my son, my daughter, this, that, whatever. They're doing this, they're doing that. I'm going to bail them out. I'm going to do this. Yes, I've rescued them 40 times and it's still happening. But I love them, but I'm, you're killing them. You're killing them. Get out of God's will. Get out of God's way. So his will can become manifested. How many times most of us in here, how many times have we been rescued? People interfering with God's will. Amen? Some of us had to eat dirt for a while. Man, I've been rescued so many times. Sometimes I thought, man, if you hadn't rescued me, maybe I'd have been rescued a long time ago. You know, we have a tendency to get in God's way, don't we? And here Jesus rebuked him and said, listen, you are not mindful of the things of God. In other words, Peter did not know the will of God. Even though Jesus told him the will, he didn't accept it or receive it, did he? Amen? Go to verse 34. When he had called the people to himself and his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires, then he really lays it in here, no. Now he rebukes Peter. He already tells him his will. Peter comes against the will of God. Now he grabs everybody else. He says, listen here. Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it. And he goes further and he says, and what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? I mean, I'm telling you, he's bringing a rebuke, conviction. He's doing surgery while they're standing right in front of him. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I'm telling you, he blasts an impartation to separate reality from temporary. He blasts an impartation that brings the separation from reality and temporary. Because this is a temporary arena, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. Starting at verse 9. Is everybody there? Colossians chapter 1. Would you read it with me? For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with what? The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you may what? Walk worthy. Let me tell you something. Without knowing God's will, you cannot walk worthy. You just can't. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully, fully, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work. This is powerful. Pleasing him, being fruitful, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Without walking in his will, there will be no inheritance. Oh, hallelujah. Filled with the knowledge of his will. That's revelation knowledge, not head knowledge. There's a difference. There's a lot of people that have head knowledge. They know the word. They know the page numbers. They can quote you scripture left and right, but they cannot walk it. Because it's head knowledge. It's not revelation knowledge. There is a difference. Revelation knowledge, it's imparted. You have an understanding. It becomes a part of you. You are now walking it. You are not just speaking it. You're walking what you're talking. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Now, go to Romans 8. I'm going to show you the difference here. Romans chapter 8. Oh, to God be the glory. That's what's so nice about praying in tongues. You get revelation knowledge. Amen? And the Bible says, one of the weaknesses we have is prayer. So your spirit prays, doesn't he? He prays what? The perfect will of God. If people pray more in tongues, they get more revelation. They get more mortification of their flesh. They get more filled, refreshed. They'd be more restful. That's whatever we're talking about, right? I mean, God gave us a simple thing besides his word, praying the Holy Ghost. The devil doesn't know what you're praying. Neither do you. Praise God. We'd mess it up if we knew. Praise God. Where did I say to go? Oh, Romans 8, chapter 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their what? Minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for the be carnal minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it cannot be subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Let me tell you something. Head knowledge without revelation knowledge is flesh. See, you can quote the word, you can know the word, and still walk in the flesh. Is everybody with me? Man, come on, how many people you know? I mean, you could just get across someone, yeah, man, I know the word, this, the Lord said this, whatever, and they say, man, you want a light? You got a light, man? You got a joint? You got a, want to go for a drink? You want to? Or they say, yes, they quote scriptures, and the next thing out of their mouth, they're cussing like crazy. Did you see that, jerk? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, I'm a new creation. What a bonehead. That means carnal mind. Bonehead, carnal mind. Oh, hallelujah. Carnal mind. Now, let me share something about the carnal mind. Head knowledge. When the carnal mind is just filled with head knowledge, it is filled with self. Come on, write this down. It's filled with self. That way you know. These are characteristics. It's filled with what? Self. Is that me? Ay. What's an ay? Demonic pizza. Hallelujah. Ay. It's filled with self, worldly desires, ambitions. And man-made theologies. It's filled with self, worldly desires, ambitions, and man-made theologies. We are to be executors of His will with no compromise. Matthew 12. Oh, hallelujah. Thy will be done. Praise you, Lord. In my name. And those who follow me. In my name. Let me tell you something. If you went to apply for a job and you used somebody's name that didn't know you, you wouldn't be able to use them as a reference. Hello? The Bible says in Mark 16, 16 through 18, it says, and those who follow me, those who believe in me in my name, they will what? Cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues and so forth and lay hands on the sick. Amen? Is that His will? Amen. That's His will. In Matthew chapter 12, in verse 50. Ooh. Let's back up a little bit. In verse 46. And while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and his brother stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and my father? And my brothers. And he stretched out his hand and toward his disciples. Towards who? His disciples. Oh, glory. Who is my mother and my brothers? And he pointed to his disciples. Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, sister, and mother. Relationship. Relationship. You want to be related? There's a relationship. You must have a true relationship. He who does the will of my Father, these are my brothers, my sisters. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Relationship. You'll never know the will of God without a relationship. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard. What's he talking about? The will of God. Nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. What is that? That's the will of God, isn't it? But God has revealed them to us through his what? Oh. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. I'm telling you hallelujah. The Holy Spirit reveals God's will and the Word confirms it. Hello? The Holy Spirit reveals God's will and the Word confirms it. For what man knows the things of a man except for the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. For we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. That's God's will. That's why it's so important in relationship with the Holy Spirit. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, okay. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the what? Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Oh, hallelujah. The Holy Spirit reveals God's will, and the Word confirms it. Ephesians chapter 1. Is everybody all right? Amen. Glory. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians 1, 7, would you read it with me? Is everybody there? What's God's will? It's a strategy to overcome your enemy. Now, remember, the will of God is already in you. The devil's not, the only reason why the devil's coming after you is because he's coming after the will of God. He does not want the will of God to be manifested. You carry the will of God. So don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. Well, the devil's always coming after me. No, he's coming after everybody that has the will of God in them. But you have overcome the world because you know the will of God. And you overcome your enemy. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his what? Will. According to do his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. It's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It's God's good pleasure that we know the will of God. Amen? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, and being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Oh, I love that. That means the counsel of the Lord is always going forth. See, God's will is also about kingdom business. It's about kingdom business that comes forth from the counsel of the Lord, interpreted by the Spirit of counsel. Has everybody got it? The will of God comes forth from the throne room of God, from the counsel of the Lord. Goes forth into you, in you, and is interpreted by the Spirit of counsel. That's why it's so important about getting in the Spirit. That's why it's so important about praying in the Spirit. Now, Don't get me wrong what I'm about to say. And it doesn't make one better than the other. Amen? But being filled with the Spirit and praying in the Spirit compared to not being filled in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit is two different walks. Hello? It's two different type of walks. I get people that come to me, and I've heard many people, yes, well, I really like this person and so forth. You know, they go to a certain denomination, and they don't believe in the same things I believe, but I think we're going to get married. They're unevenly yoked. Hello? That's unevenly yoked. You better just wait till you are same on the same yoke. Or you're being choked. Hallelujah. So we're predestined to know His will and to be in His will, manifesting His kingdom. Remember, it's all about kingdom business, isn't it? It's kingdom business now. God is manifesting His kingdom, and He wants to manifest His kingdom through us. Ephesians 6. Hallelujah. All glory. In verse 5, it says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service or as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That means there's another place of position. Remember, we talked about positioning as physical and spiritual heart. Doing it from the heart. That means there's a change. You're willing to do it no matter what. In other words, doing God's will is your purpose in life at all costs. Whatever God's will is, that's what you want. No matter what you feel, no matter what you think, no matter what your circumstances are, you will seek God's will and not your own. Hallelujah. Doing it from the heart. Proverbs 23. Glory to God. Proverbs 23. Thank you, Lord. In verse 26, in verse 26, my son, give me your heart. And let your eyes observe my ways. Give me your heart. And let your eyes observe my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit, and a seductress is a narrow well. She also lies in wait as for a victim, and increases the unfaithful among men. That's your enemy. Amen? So what are we supposed to do? Give him our heart, that we may be able to see. Oh, hallelujah. James 4. A couple more scriptures. We're doing God's will. James chapter 4. Praise be to God. Bless your holy name. In verse 13, James chapter 4 and verse 13. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say what? If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him is sin. If there's something that you're not doing right, and you know it's not God's will. You know it. Then you've come out from the covering of Christ and come under the covering of darkness. If you know it, because sin means what? Presence of evil. If you know it, I don't care what it is. If you know it, you're petting evil and it will bite you. It will always bite you. If the Lord wills. My wife says to me, is it date night, Saturday night? I say, if the Lord wills. Of course, she always says to me, yeah, if Guy wills. I said, no, babe. If the Lord wills. You never know what's going to happen. I may have to go to work. You never know what's going to happen, so you got to say, if the Lord wills. Of course, she laughs at me and says, if Guy wills. I said, no, honey, that's not what it is. I love date night. Hallelujah. I love my wife. 2 Timothy chapter 2. No, wait a minute. Did I finish this? Okay, let's go back here. Hold on. James 4, 13, right? Is that where we are? We already did that. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Come on, God's not in confusion now. Let's do the will of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Hallelujah. Verse 21. I start at verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, in other words, cleanses himself from the old will, from the will of self. If anyone's willing to cleanse themselves from their wills and their ways, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also useful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart, but avoid foolishness and arrogant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may come to know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So we want to cleanse from the old will. Amen? You know, cleanse from those old desires. Cleanse from those old responses. Cleanse from those old character. Cleanse from that. And allow that new character, things that you see your old self being manifest. See, you can judge yourself. You judge yourself by your fruits. Things that you begin to see your old self come. It says cleanse yourself from those things. If you find yourself beginning to stare longer than you should, if you find yourself beginning to say words that are discouraging and not encouraging, if you begin to find yourself accusing, proudful and not humble, you begin to see these old will. It says cleanse yourself from your old man. Cleanse yourself from the latter. Cleanse yourself from the old will, that you may become a vessel of honor. Jesus was a vessel of honor. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm going to close in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Praise you, Lord. Bless your holy name. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse something here. Verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Who will do it. Amen? Now listen. Cleanse yourself from the old. When you begin to see that old will begin to come forth, let that new will come forth. Take dominion. One of the things that are important is sanctification unto the Lord. Amen? Separation. Hide in a secret place with him. Abide in him. Have that fellowship. Take dominion and take your authority. Make no place for the devil. Remember, the will of God is a strategy to overcome the enemy. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I pray that the seed be imparted in each and every one of us, Lord. That the seed tonight will grow and bear fruit for your glory as I apply the blood of Jesus on this seed. That your heart, mind, and will be manifested. That you go before us as a consuming fire, snaring our enemies in our own. That's why we escape safely. That we may fulfill your will in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.